Good morning, River City.
All right, that was pretty good. I'm not going to have you repeat it, but I am on next week, so we can do an even better job next week. But welcome those who are here, those who are at home driving in this morning. I was really curious what the turnout would be, but it's great to see so many of you here. I'm not seeing you at home. Didn't Mr. Dress Up or the Green Giant talk about I'm seeing you at home? That dates me a lot. Okay, sorry. Sorry, folks who are sitting here, you have no idea what I'm talking about. All right. But anyways, we are so glad to see you. After the service, for those of you who are here, there will be a bit of an update on the building scenario. Those of you who are at home, I think the video will be ending then, but look for an email for an update on the building. I'm sure you're all eager to learn about that. It is communion this morning. And you got your little cup, and which is, you know, this whole brand new COVID invention, which is fantastic. I teach in a school, and I got there Monday morning last week, and I saw a couple of these little cups laying around, which reminded me, oh yeah, there's a church that rented this place, and they had communion. And I've seen these in other places where I go, oh, there's Christians all over the place that celebrate communion. And I'm looking forward to doing that with all of you and all of you at home. So if you're at home, get your stuff, all right? There's got to be something in your house, a wafer, a piece of bread, a bit of juice, or maybe even a bit of wine at home, and you can partake in that this morning. Please connect with us. You see these cards if you're new or newish, or even if you've been here a long time and you're realizing, you know what? I come here. Am I really connected? Maybe you're not. Maybe you're going, you know, that small group thing that comes up once in a while. Please reach out. And maybe you're going, but it's a bit awkward. We're halfway through a season. You're going, how do I get involved? We would love you to get involved. I know my wife and I are leaders of a small group. Others, small group leaders, would love to have other people join them as well. So please participate. I'm not sure if you noticed it, but I did notice. I was given the heads up. And I did the white glove test throughout the building this morning because apparently a volunteer elf from somewhere did, and it was a volunteer who did an extra deep cleaning of the place, and so we're thankful for that as well. And I can actually tell. I was around the building, and I'm thankful for that. Be sure to stay for after the service. We have more announcements, more things going on at River City. But first, we are going to enjoy the worship team, lead us into worship, and I'm looking forward to Daryl's message this morning as well. Take it away, worship team.
Thanks, Marvin. Would you all stand and spend some time worshiping our God with us? Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything round me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. He's faithful generations, so why would He fail now? He won't, He won't. I've still got joy in chaos, I've got peace that makes no sense, and when we go, I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I've built my life on Jesus. He's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would He fail now? He won't. He won't fail. on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built on you. I'm safe with you. I'm gonna make it through. Rain came, wind blew, but my house was built. The rock on which I stand, when everything around me's shaking, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus. 'Cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So he won't, he won't fail, he won't fail, he won't, he won't, he won't fail, he won't. He won't fail. He won't fail. No, no, he won't. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Give us this day a daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us as we forgive the ones who sinned against us. Forgive them and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Let your kingdom come, Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done on earth as in heaven. Right here in my heart. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven. Right here in my heart. Give us this day a daily bread. Forgive us. Forgive us. The kingdom, the power, the glory. Father, let your kingdom come. Father, let your will be done. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. On earth as in heaven, right here in my heart. Heavenly Father, I thank you for, just this morning, that we can all gather here and worship you and spend time as a community, as a group of believers who all just worship the same God. I thank you for your word, and I thank you for that promise that you said that everyone who hears your word and does it is the one who builds their life on a firm foundation, on the rock, is like the person who builds their house on the rock. So God, help us to be that person. Help us to hear what you say and to do it, to not just be hearers, but people who also do what you tell us to do. We ask that we'd be people of prayer who, model Jesus' prayer in the, let us forgive others as you've forgiven them. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Lead us not into temptation. Help us to be that person. I also just pray that we would remember your gospel, remember everything that you've done for us, all that you've given us, as we now sing about it. We sing about how death has been defeated. We do not have to fear any longer. But you have promised us eternal life with you. So we sing about that now. In Jesus' name, amen. Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was ransomed, he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus rose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over. Me. New now life begins with you.
To a time of offering. At River City, we would consider giving back to the Lord as a form of worship. So if you feel inclined in your heart to do so, then some people will be coming around with baskets and stuff. Otherwise, you can also do it online. Talk to someone with a blue shirt and they'll help you figure that out. We're going to sing a little bit of a song while that goes around. You can sing along if you want or just listen.
See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin went away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave, the evidence is endless. All my sin. Goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life. I see the evidence of your
City proudly presents Sam Bowring.
The verse I selected is Luke 6, verses 43 to 45. It goes like this. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus to me is a friend and a mentor and a healer. Someone who is always there for me and who will always be willing to listen to my prayers. Someone who I can always rely on to be there for me in my time of need. And someone who I can seek to follow with my actions and my words at any time of day. I'm getting baptized at this time because it feels as if it is my decision alone. I feel as if over the last couple years I've matured and grown as a person and I'm happy with who I am and what I am pursuing as an individual. And so it felt as if now was the right time to become baptized due to it being solely my choice. I suppose that's an easy answer. I chose to be baptized here because this is the only church family that I've ever known, and it's where I've grown up and where I felt the most comfortable, and so it only felt right to get baptized here.
How do you follow that? Carefully, thank you. So it's a different kind of Sunday at River City. For those of you who are regulars, you know that most days when you come here, almost every day that you come here, you're jumping in at some point in the midst of a sermon series, right? We do series on different topics, and we'll address those over 3, 4, 5 weeks or whatever. Today's not like that. Today's message is a one-off, which makes it a different kind of Sunday, which means it's the perfect time for a different kind of message. So we got a different kind of message this morning. Hey, how many of you have been in a mall? Humor me. Raise your hands if you've been in a mall. All right. All the hands are going up. That's good. Thank you. Of course, malls come in every shape and every size, and they have stores that are similar, and they have stores that are unique. But one thing that every mall has is a directory, or a directory with a map on it, right? You go into a mall, especially a familiar one, and you aren't looking for it. You don't notice the directory, right? If you go to the Cambridge Center Mall, if you go to the Conestoga Mall, you're not looking for it because you know what you're looking for. But if you're in an unfamiliar place, in another city, and say you're looking for a specific store, when you go into the mall, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go and find a directory and look at the map, and it'll say, you are here. There'll be a red dot, and then you can kind of make the connection to whatever store that you want to go to. At no other time are mall maps more appreciated than when you're lost, right? I've had that before where you're in a huge mall like the West Edmonton Mall, and you got to find the parking garage where you parked or the lot that you were in, and it was beside a store that you recognized, but you're nowhere near that store. Or you want to meet your friends at the food court, you're all shopping, you're doing Christmas shopping, and you're going to meet the food court, but you're scattered all over the place and you don't know which way it is to the food court. That's when you really appreciate these maps. And whenever I am in a situation where I'm lost like that, that's the first thing that I do, is I find the directory, and they're always by the exits, right? They're usually by major junctions, and you can usually find them at the food court, right? I find that map, and I look at that little red dot that says, you are here. How many of you know what I'm talking about? All right, all hands again. You at home, I'm sure you know as well. Now, here's what I like about the map analogy, the mall map analogy. We're all here together in person or online. We're all at this service together. But spiritually speaking, faith-wise, like when it comes to our how strong we feel our faith is, how it relates to our feeling close to God or feeling distant from God, we can all be at very different places. And this can actually be demonstrated. And so using this mall map analogy, here's what I want each of you to do. And at home, you got to participate too. In your mind's eye, I want you to imagine you're in a mall. Okay? It could be a familiar mall. It could be a foreign mall. Picture you're in a mall. And now, based on how you came into this service today, how you entered or tuned in today, how you're feeling in your relationship with God, I want you to identify, where's your red dot? Can you do this? And I'm asking you to use your imagination, but I want you to identify, where's your red dot? Take a moment or two in your mind's eye to find your red dot. Take note of what's around you. Are you in a location that's familiar to you, in a mall that's familiar, or are you in a location that you have no idea where you are? It's a completely foreign mall. You're feeling discombobulated, disoriented, whatever it is. Do you recognize the stores? Are the signs in English or in some other language? Take note of where you're standing. What do you see when you look left? What do you see when you look right? Do you recognize it? When you look down the hallway, are you in a haze, or can you see and kind of know where it is that you're going? And around that corner ahead of you, do you know what stores are down there? Do you know what you're going to find if you go down that hallway? So everybody, have you got your red dot? A few nods? A few more up there. They're smarter over there. Okay. All right. So what I want you to do now, this is going to be really awkward, but I'm going to ask you to do it anyway, because I'm that kind of guy. I want you to huddle up in groups of 2 or 3. I was going to say 3, but some of you came in groups of 2. That's fine. I want you to huddle up in groups of 2 or 3, and I want you to share where your dot is and why you think it's there, right? Spiritually speaking, how you came in this morning. So just go ahead, get up if you out of your seat if you need to. Just take a minute to do that. I'll make sure that it stays copacetic. But let's just identify your dot and why it's there. Go ahead. I'm hearing the volume go down a bit, so you got another 20 seconds to wrap it up. All right. You know what was so cool as I was watching you guys? Even young people and kids were able to do that. In fact, I think they had an easier time than some of us who are older. All right, how many of you, in sharing where your red dot was, heard back from someone else something very different than your own experience? Raise your hands. All right, so about half of you, 50%, demonstrating the truth of what I said earlier, which is that when we come here on a Sunday morning, we might be in the same room, we might be on the same service online, but we are in different places, or we can be in different places, spiritually speaking, or how we feel in our relationship with God. Now, maybe you noticed, maybe you didn't, but I didn't participate in one of the triads, one of the groups of three. Part of it because somebody had to be the moderator, and so I was doing that. And part of it was because I felt I should share where my red dot is today with all of you. Yeah, thanks, TJ, you're encouraging. And it's not because I'm so important, because I'm no more important than anyone else here, right? We all matter eternally to God. Right? We're precious. We're made in his image, every single one of us. So it's not because of thinking I'm more important, but it's because my life and my calling is to love and serve this church. And so my dot has a lot to do with this church, usually, and I thought what I would share would be something that many of you would be interested in hearing, because I figure you wouldn't be tuning in, you wouldn't be here this morning if River City Church didn't matter at least a little bit to you. So here's my red dot. Typically, my red dot would be in a familiar mall where I feel comfortable. The stores around me would all be familiar stores. Not only would they be familiar, they'd be stores that I like, my favorites, stores that I frequent a lot. That's what my norm would be on a Sunday morning. But this week, I'm feeling very disoriented. This mall that I'm in today is neither familiar nor comfortable. I'm definitely needing the map and the directory. I'm searching for the red dot telling me where I am because none of the stores are familiar. In fact, they might as well be written in like Japanese or something. And there's one familiar store, and that's you folks. You folks are familiar. Thank God for that. But the rest is pretty unfamiliar. And when I look down my hall, I don't even know any of the stores. In fact, I can't even see the stores. There's a fog. There's like a haze when I look down the hallway, and that's troubling. So let me explain. A week ago, when I left for vacation, I had a topic and a text all picked out for the week that I got back, for today, right? I was going to be unpacking communion and what it means and why we're celebrating communion as a congregation and all of that. But as you know, our visionary board has been looking into alternate space locations, right, for us to hold youth group and children's ministry and band practices and even our worship services. And we've been looking for alternate meeting space for two main reasons. Number one, because whatever hopes and dreams that we had for this building that we're in have kind of been taken away from us, right? This building was sold to a new owner in July, and we've accepted that. But that doesn't make our being here very easy. Certainly it isn't easy for me, and I don't think it's easy for a lot of our leadership, and I know it's not easy for some of you either. We have vested a lot in this. That's reason number one. We're looking for alternate space. But the second is because when we entered into a plan to purchase this building, it was never our intention to continue being here as is, right? We, in addition to raising over $300,000 for a purchase option, we also raised about $200,000 for renovations and upgrades. And we've been here since December of 2019, and there hasn't been a single upgrade to the area of the building that we utilize week after week. And so it breaks our hearts that some of our members who have impairments, mobility impairments, they can't worship with us. We've even had guests that have come here that have struggled with the stairs, right? We were planning to have a lift and everything like that. And then there's the disrepair that we see that's evident around us, things that need updating that haven't been updated and so forth. And we see that especially when you go into the basement and you go into the washrooms or the children's ministry area. All to say, we know that there's better space options out there, and since July, we've been looking at other options. Some of them I've reported to you. I've shared some of those options. Mostly, they've been other churches, or we could go back to the Galaxy Cinemas. But all the other options that we've looked at so far, other than the Galaxy, would mean that we'd have to have a service on like a Sunday afternoon, right? It would be in another church that's not using their building at that time, and that would be pretty disruptive to our families and to our routines on a Sunday. A few of you, like me, like NFL football. I would skip football for church, but maybe you wouldn't. I don't know, right? So especially if we had to do Sunday afternoons long term, I think that would be hard for our congregation. But 2 months ago, I was at a gathering with pastors from the city, and I ran into Pastor Danielle. And she has a two-point charge. She's serving two congregations, and the one congregation that she serves is really, really small, and they've got a really, really big building. And they actually had a contest for community groups to apply to sublet space from them, and they wanted to make their space available to the most worthy group that they could find. And we were selected. So we won. We won this thing. You don't know this yet because it's not a done deal. But at any rate, they have a service time early enough on a Sunday morning that we could still meet on Sunday morning. We'd have to meet a little later than we do now, but we could still be on Sunday mornings. They have a building that's totally accessible, so all of our people could be able to participate and guests wouldn't come and recognize these difficult stairs to navigate and stuff like that. They not only have, like we've been able to tell what, last Sunday, we've been able to have coffee and stuff outside because it's been so gorgeous, but winter's here now. And we'll see how many are standing outside after today's service for coffee. But they not only have one big fellowship hall with nice big windows looking outside, they've got two. So we could have lots of space for coffee and fellowship. They've got a fully stocked kitchen that we were going to be able to use, and that we could have potlucks, and we could serve community meals. We could do other community building events there. It's clean. It's safe. It's in good repair. And we were ready to start subletting from them starting January 1st. So this is all looking really good. That was when I left for vacation last week, and I was planning to share all this great news with you and to try to help us transition and prepare for another short-term, like interim space move until this court case that we're in is completed. But last Sunday, while I was on vacation, their congregation took a congregational vote, and without getting into all the details, suffice to say, the original offer has changed significantly. And as it stands, our moving there could possibly be more hassle than it's worth. So things have gone a different direction than I was anticipating, certainly a different direction than I was hoping. Now, this church that I'm referring to as a possible interim home for us is not totally off the table. In fact, Wednesday, James Carroll, who's up there, James, you can wave, he's our board chair. He and I are going to meet with their board chair and their pastor, and we're going to discuss things further. So if you're a person of prayer, that would be something to keep in prayer. But when I say that the mall I'm in today is unfamiliar and uncomfortable, that's a big part of what I'm referring to. And what's more, though I and others have been praying for clarity on this and thinking that we are being led toward greater clarity, there's a lot of unclarity right now. Like, is this God's way of saying that he wants us to stay put here for a while longer? Is this God's way of saying that we've got to be good negotiators and engage in further conversations with the leadership of that church and see if we can make a way? Is this God's way of saying that we need to look for options that are still out there that we haven't discovered? Is this God's way of saying go back to the options that you found that don't seem comfortable but maybe what we need? So kind of like at this fork in the road with four possible ways that we can go, and we don't want to go anyway without hearing from God. We need to hear from God, and we haven't yet, which is why my mall hallway is unrecognizable. It's why there's a fog around me today. And that's one of the issues that I returned to when I came back from vacation. The other is this. This past Friday, our lawyer was in court, not for our court case that we're so eager for the outcome of, but for another court date that does affect how long we may wait for our court date. It could be sooner, it could be later. It has some implication on where our case will ultimately be tried and so forth. And at the time that I wrote this message, I had to write this, I don't write the message on Sunday morning. I write it before Friday. in case you're wondering. But when I was writing this message, that was undetermined as well. I had no idea how that. I was writing this message as our lawyer was in court debating and arguing and answering questions and all that stuff. So I was in a double fog. I had fog everywhere. Now, since we're this side of Friday, I can report that some of the fog has lifted. And those of you who call this church home will get updates about that via email and after the service if you want to wait for that. But this is just to say that I'm in a mall today that's unfamiliar and it is uncomfortable. God's word in the Bible is to function for believers like the directory and the map in a mall, right? God gave us his word so that we would know the way and wouldn't have to be lost. He gave us his word to orient us in life when we're disoriented. He gave us his word to tell us the truth about where we're standing. We don't need to wonder, where am I standing? He says, you're standing right here. So when you're in an unfamiliar mall and looking for your way, you go to the mall directory with its map. You look for the red dot that says you are here. How often in your life are you going to God's word? Is it the first place that you go? See, we believers are to orient ourselves not by how we're feeling inside, not even by where we think we stand. Believers orient themselves by who our God is and by what he says about us in his word, in the Bible. Which begs the question, well, who is God? Who is this God that we've come together this morning to worship, or at minimum to learn more about, to explore? And certainly we don't have time this morning to go into all of who God is. But if there's one essential attribute, trait, or characteristic of God, one that we find repeatedly in the Bible from cover to cover, one that is a core principle in Christian teaching, it's this. Our God is sovereign. God is sovereign. That God is sovereign means that he has the power and the wisdom and the authority to do anything that he chooses within his creation. And like I said, this is spelled out many times in many places in the Bible. According to Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. In other words, he created it all and it all belongs to him. He created it all and it all belongs to him. Psalm 47 verse 2 elaborates on this. For the Lord Most High is awesome, the great king over all the earth. So God is over all, above all, in power and in authority. And in saying that God is over all, we also mean that he is over us. God is over us in power and authority. Ezekiel 18 verse 4 begins with this. And here God is speaking to us directly via his word. For everyone belongs to me, the parent as well as the child. Both belong to me. Now, I don't know about you, but I find it amazing that God takes note of us, right? Especially when you consider how small we are compared to creation, right? Barb and I were on an airplane twice within the last week, and as we were flying into Florida a week ago, we could see the hurricane. I think it's Nicole coming in. Like, you could literally, you know how when you look at the satellite map and you see that round big thing? We could see the round extending over the Gulf of Mexico and hitting on the edge of Tampa, and we were landing in that. And then we had the storm for a lot of our vacation. But anyway, amazing that God takes note of us when we're so small compared to creation. And so finite, that our lives are so short. I have this habit, especially in the winter when it's dark. I'll go for a walk in my neighborhood, and we have this little parquet about three blocks from my house, and I'll go there, and there's this huge oak tree. It's about this round. I think I've even used it as an illustration in messages here before. Like literally, it's I think it's 7+ feet around. And based on my friend, Mark Hoving, who's an arborist, that tree is about 300 years old. And that tree is young compared to a lot of things. And we're, I'm one of the old ones in this room, but our lives are like this, right? Like a fog, like a mist. And yet God takes note of us. And not only does the sovereign one take note of us, he knows us. And he cares for us. According to Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 29 and following, God cares about even common sparrows. This morning I was driving to church and these sparrows were going to the road. I was like, move, little sparrows, I'm going to drive over you. I wouldn't, but they were there and they were getting salt off the road. And Jesus said, God even cares about sparrows, and we're worth more to him than many sparrows. Indeed, his whole plan to save the world through Jesus was motivated by love, not only for the world, but for each one of us. I've heard a preacher say when I was a kid, and I never forgot it, the preacher said, if you were the only human ever to have lived, Jesus still would have came and died for you. I don't think you'll forget that either now, will you? And Romans 5, verse 8 tells us something even more amazing. It says that God loved us even when we were at our worst, while we were in outright rebellion against him. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I think about the worst sin in my life. I mean, I was raised in a Christian family, so I don't know a time when I was intentionally out rebelling against God, but I know I'm a sinner, and I've got some doozies. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us because of the Father's love. And so imagine how precious we are to him now that we've accepted his son Jesus as the forgiver of our sins and the leader of our lives. Imagine how precious we are to him now that we are in Christ. Indeed, we may trust that our sovereign God is working all things for our good somehow and in some way. I said all things, right? Building situations, court cases, situations in your family, situations in your life that I don't know about, that no one knows about but God. God works all things for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purposes, Romans 8, 28. God knows what we need, so we need not worry about anything. 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 So considering who God is, the sovereign one, and how God cares about us and loves us, we can and should trust him no matter what we feel, no matter where we think we stand, or even where we are standing. The Apostle Paul, who said so many things so well, said this very well. He said, I know in whom I have believed, and I can trust him because he is able. 1 Timothy 1:12 and Ephesians 3, verse 20. I don't know how this situation is going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I know in whom I believe, and I know that he is able. I'll end with this. One of my favorite Christmas movies is A Christmas Story. Apparently a few of you have seen it as well. It's the, for those of you who maybe have seen it but don't recognize it, it's the one with the famous line, you'll shoot your eye out, right? Because Ralphie wants a BB gun for Christmas. One of my favorite scenes in A Christmas Story is a familiar scene. You guys, if you've seen the movie, you'll know it. It's when Ralphie and his two best friends are at school, and they're in the front, and they're standing by the primary school flagpole, and it's wintertime. And one of Ralphie's friends, right, they're at that tender age where you're learning things that are brand new. And some of these things, you know, about topics like sex and other things are mysterious, and some kid might know something before the other kid does. And so Ralphie's one friend is sharing his newfound discovery that if you put your tongue on a frozen flagpole, it's going to get stuck. And that sounds like a load of bunk to his buddy. And they get in this argument, as primary school boys will, and they're arguing back and forth, and it escalates until the one friend dares the unbelieving friend to go ahead and do it. Go ahead, stick your tongue to the flagpole then, if you're so sure it won't stick. And then the disbeliever, who's been like courageous, is kind of getting sheepish, because he's like, what if it's true? That's not going to be a pretty sight. And so his buddy, the one who's got this newfound knowledge, he throws down the gauntlet. And then he says this. Well, you tell me what he says. What does he say? Thank you, Mark. That was good. I triple dog dare you. There's no way out of a triple dog dare. Well, the last Bible verse that I referenced was Ephesians 3, verse 20. And it's the one that says that God is able. God is able. And it relates to his being sovereign again. Ephesians 3, verse 20 is located in the midst of a prayer that Paul prays for the Christians in Ephesus. And it's a prayer that I would pray, and that is prayed for believers today, for Christians today. And so I'm going to have this prayer read. We're going to read it three times and in three different Bible translations so that hopefully something fresh hits us each time from each of the translations. And we're reading it three times because I want you to remember this challenge that I'm issuing to each of you. I triple dog dare you. I triple dog dare you to pray this prayer. I triple dog dare you to pray this prayer today and every day until we come back again online or in person next week. So I've asked two precious volunteers to come up, and they're going to read it first. So Sally and Johannes, if you could come up. And this was actually their wedding text, or their wedding text was the second last verse in this passage. So they're going to read it. First, Sally's going to read it in the New International Version for those of you following along on your Bible app. The words will be on the screen if you didn't bring your smartphone. And then Johannes is going to read it in the Message, which is not a translation but an inspiration. And then I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version of the Bible. So this is Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 20. Write this down. Make this your prayer. I triple dog dare you to pray this. At least seven times.
For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
So my response is to get down on my knees before the Father. This magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth, I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit, not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength, that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. And I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his Spirit deeply and gently within us. Glory to God in the church. Glory to God in the Messiah, in Jesus. Glory down all the generations. Glory through all millennia. Oh, yes.
For this reason, I bow my knees in reverence before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, God the first and ultimate Father. May he grant you, out of the riches of his glory, to be strengthened and spiritually energized with power through his Spirit in your inner self, indwelling your innermost being and personality, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And may you, having been deeply rooted and securely grounded in love, be fully capable of comprehending with all the saints, with God's people, the width and length and height and depth of his love, fully experiencing that amazing endless love, and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God himself. And now to him who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all we dare ask or think, infinitely for the privilege that we have to partake of this meal because of what happened in history. Thank you that in your love you sent your Son. Thank you that in love, Jesus, you came to this earth. You lived the life that we could not, the perfectly sinless, spotless life. And then you willingly lay down your life as a payment, as a sacrifice for our sins, to wash us clean, to make us whole, to restore our relationship with Creator God. And then you instituted this meal to remind us of how we are connected with you, even as this juice that we drink and this wafer that we eat will become part of us. It'll go into our bodies. We'll internalize it. You are living in us through the presence and the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, and we praise you. Thank you for teaching us that this meal isn't just for us. As much as it strengthens our faith, it's to remind us of the bond that we have, which Marvin talked about with Christians who celebrate, sometimes in slightly different ways, but who celebrate this meal and your victory over death and sin and the life that we have in you. Christians who celebrate that through all time and all space. We celebrate our unity with them. We celebrate our unity with one another. We are your body. May every person who calls this church home experience love from their sisters and their brothers around them in this service and in every expression that they see. And help us to extend this love to others so that others too would know you, Jesus, and so that the Father would be glorified in all the creation. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. So I have some elements here that are like large scale, I think mostly because my fingers don't work so well. But you'll all have a cup. And the challenging thing with the cup is that there are two lids. There's a thin, really thin lid that exposes the wafer. And so I'd invite you to try to open that one first. Those of you at home, you probably have something that looks more like this. So let's first get the wafer. During the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave thanks and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you, and then do this in remembrance of me." And so River City, let's take this bread and let's remember Jesus and his sacrifice for the complete forgiveness of all of our sins. Jesus took the cup. And he lifted it, and he said, "This is my blood. shed for you, the blood of the new covenant. It is a new day for us because of Jesus. We are a new people because of Jesus. We have a new standing before God the Father because of Jesus. We are a new community because of Jesus. And we have a real love to show this world. So let's take and drink and remember and believe that our sins have been washed away completely through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior.
Thank you so much, Daryl, for leading us in that. Would you all stand and we'll sing in response to this wonderful gift that we've all been given.
Jesus, you are.
seated, Marvin, come up and give us some more announcements.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, worship team. Thank you, Daryl. That image is really powerful of the whole mall thing. For me,
okay.
What I'm left with is we keep looking for the dot that says you are here, when actually maybe the red dot is just God. He's there. That's the message from the song. And God's just there. We just need to open our eyes sometimes to see where he's at. All right, so the red dot's God for me. Anyways, new series, folks, coming up. Next week is the first day, the beginning of Advent. So home for the holidays, interesting picture up there. All right, this is the first time we're actually home for the holidays for a little while. If any of you have been missing family and whatnot, which is awesome, and also a little nerve-wracking at times. So I don't know your family situations. I know mine, sort of. But Isaiah, apparently, the book of Isaiah, Daryl's preaching on the book of Isaiah. Isaiah's not coming here, okay? But the book of Isaiah, we're going to learn a whole bunch about coming home for the holidays. So I'm looking forward to that series. And reminding, if you haven't noticed, Christmas is coming. All right? Speaking of Christmas is coming, we have Giving Tuesday coming up in a week and a couple of days. I like contrasting Giving Tuesday with Grab Everything You Can Get Friday, which is Black Friday, all right? And then Order All That You Can Get, which is Cyber Monday. But we have an opportunity to give, all right? To be honest, we've got enough stuff. I got enough stuff, at least. Got to convince my wife of that. She loves giving gifts. But anyways, we've got enough, but we have all kinds to give. One of the goals of Giving Tuesday for our church is to match that $7,500 donation that's already been given. All right? So what you can give, we want to get turn $7,500 into $15,000. All right, for the good work of the church. We also, one of the secondary goals is regular giving to change that commitment from us as a congregation up by $2,000 from where it currently is. So I'm excited to kind of counteract all the advertising because, man, are we giving a lot of advertising. Maybe some of you are going, Marvin, you're going on a little long about Giving Tuesday. Have you opened your computer or your mailbox and how much that Friday and that Monday is being pushed? So let's think of that and get a good push for Giving Tuesday. Another way of giving as well, there is this bucket over here. No noodles, please. All right, that was the campaign previously. But gently used or new clothes we are looking for. There is a campaign going on. There are folks in Cambridge who just need those basics of clothing that is can be worn and protected and used outside. I saw a lot of you coming inside this morning like with a look of, oh, good, there's heat in here. There's people who just need a good shirt on their back, a good coat on their back, good shoes, good boots. So that's an opportunity. So throw her in there, all right, and bring those. It looks like between the 27th and the 18th of December. All righty. So all kinds of opportunities to give there. There is a women's event, speaking about getting cozy. I can't figure out how to slip into this one, though, because I heard the last one was awesome. It is December 10th. Stephanie does an incredible job for that. Please, though, please let her know, or it's probably that rivercitychurch.org email address. Pardon? How could I not know that? I've been saying that like forever. info@rivercitychurch.org. Please let email so that they know, so Stephanie knows how much to make. And if you can pass along $10 at the breakfast, you will more than eat that. And Margarita, bring something home for me. Anyways, there's also young adults, all right? I don't know what this, I just love food. I don't know how old I am. But anyways, Joel. Is that your place? Awesome. All right. What are you cooking? Pardon? Oh, bring your own. It's a potluck. Right. All right. You're not making anything? Okay, all righty. All right, but he's going to share. But anyways, I'm putting him on the spot. Very good. So that's December 30th, 4:30 p.m. Everybody likes to eat in this church. Everything here has to do with food. All right. Now, that's it for me. Shortly, and maybe if you want a coffee and you don't want to learn about what's going on with the building and whatnot, but that's fine. You can grab a coffee. But those of you who'd like to stay, stick around, and you can get your coffee after that. And the sun's out now, so maybe it is nice to stand outside. Maybe not. All right. Anyways, have a great Sunday, everyone.
Go and be blessed.